entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is a humble little podcast known as the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you are inclined to join in the conversation, you have something you'd like to add, and you have a telephone, well, guess what? We have a phone number. 316-768-4472. I know! I'll say it again. 316-768-4472. With me this fine evening, as always, ladies and gentlemen, a guy named Steve. And playing the role of Frank, nobody.
Thank God.
No, not thank God. We miss Frank. Frank is actually, I don't know where Frank is. Frank did give me the courtesy of saying that he won't be on the next 2 weeks. He's unavailable this week and the next.
And that was the extent of the explanation.
That was it. You would think he was a fucking spy, can't tell us about his missions, but the fact is I know that he is simply a man who enjoys diners and not sleeping and providing for his family. So he must be going on some kind of a trip or something like that. I'm sure we'll hear about it at a later date, and we'll all be riveted. It's going to be a fun, fun thing. I look forward to it, Steve. How about you?
Yeah, I would like to know. Like, I guess he's propagating the mystery of his character.
I mean, that's something that I like. I know that you like things, Steve.
I like some things.
Yeah, I noticed that really weird things just popped up on your profile page on Facebook. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have hotties and Russian techno as likes. Okay, so this isn't just like you turning into Alex Webbs. You're actually inspired by him.
It's great. This is great. I wish I could incite Alex Webbs to maybe find my Facebook page and notice.
Oh, he's already seen it. He's decided not to request your friendship, though.
Well.
Yeah. The thing about Russian techno and hotties, they're probably very good things, but you don't need to advertise to the world you like them. I appreciate you doing it because I know it's a reference to something that we've done on the show, and I like that.
Just having fun.
And
the hell, I like Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to judge me less for liking hotties and Russian techno.
I went on this site, airtime.com, where it matches you up with random people based on who you know, where you live, and what you've clicked like on. And it's pretty embarrassing when they link you up with somebody and it says, retail stores you like. Fucking Walmart. what's the fucking nail polish place? There's some fucking makeup store that Amanda clicked like to get a coupon on my fucking Facebook page. So now I'm forever, like, I don't know, like Five Below or some fuck. I don't even know what the fuck it is.
No, that's a $5 or less store.
Is that what it is? It's right next to that, and I can't even think of it, like Avita or something.
I got a fucking hoodie from Five Below. It was a Run DMC black hoodie.
You bought a hoodie that cost less than $5?
$5.
And you wore it? That thing must be fucking...
I wear it all the time.
It's got to be made out of threads that are not safe in flames. Don't attend any fucking beach bonfires while wearing that.
I might have already.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you didn't get too close. Don't spill your liquor on it and walk down by the fucking furnace.
I think I've smoked cigarettes while wearing it, so I think I'm all right so far.
Well, that's because you're protected by the aura of having liked hotties and Russian techno.
Hotties and Russian techno.
Yeah, what's good?
Steve, they're gonna protect me.
Are you gonna start talking like that and suggest that everybody changes their browser or tries a new one? Tries the correct one, actually. What a fucking asshole. We were actually talking to, I think it was Barb that pointed this out, after the show last week. She found his SoundCloud and his blog talk on a blog TV site. And
I think it was on the SoundCloud site, and
the thing is, though, the blog TV is like a video site, and he has two entries, but it's so fucking creepy. It's just a camera pointed at a mic with a chair in front of it and nobody in it. And like halfway through it, you hear him go, check, check one, check two. Yeah.
Is everybody here?
I think my microphone needs a better browser. It's really awful. It's just so fucking creepy. And if you ever want to keep tabs on him, he uses the same fucking name for every goddamn site. Just look for Alex Webbs.
Nice.
I think he might be getting a Facebook fan page pretty soon.
I'll be a fan. I like that. So I like Alex Webbs, Hotties, and Russian Techno.
Absolutely.
That'll be the four. That's only three.
Because you're a party guy, Steve.
I am.
You are. You are into partying and excitement.
I'm into partying. I don't know about excitement.
How could you not be into excitement?
Excitement leads to danger.
Not always.
Sometimes.
The good kind of excitement doesn't lead to danger. And you know what the good kind I'm talking about is?
The best kind of excitement absolutely leads to danger.
Almost leads to danger.
No, it absolutely does, because that's the kind of excitement I really like.
Oh, so you...
That's why I stay away from it.
Okay, so you just want a good time, you know, slice grandma's cake, just sit down and play Uno, and have a cup of Welch's Grape, call it an evening at 8:30. Is that what you're into? Because that's the exact opposite of what the fuck is going to go down on September 1st, when we bring back, we resurrect the Hear Us Talk Labor Day Bash. Last year, we didn't have one. We didn't do one last year. It was a dark...
Was it 2 years ago that you had one out in New York?
That's right. We had one at... the first was... Actually, they were all in New York. But the first was in Staten Island at a shanty town house that smelled like cat piss. Listen, I don't want to be mean to friends of friends. But when I tell you I felt cleaner outside than inside the house... I am not lying. I went into. I had
was it like a shore house.
It was a like regular a house. This is a residence that someone lives in, and I had to piss. And being a human, I didn't want to do it outside. I felt like, you know, I'm at somebody's house. I don't want to be seen pissing into a hedge. I don't need someone fucking getting a snap of my sack mixed into a boxwood hedge. I don't need that. So I went into the house to preserve my humanity and my shame. And I went into that fucking bathroom, and it was like I had been shrunken down and was thrown into a fucking litter box.
Oh. That's awful.
Yeah, it was hideous. Absolutely hideous. So, needless to say, I did not aim.
didn't need to.
I did my best impression of a sprinkler. wherever it was aimed
did you, like,
is where it went.
It halfway?
No, I mean, I completely drained. I was without urine when I walked out of there, and I walked out and I met up with I think it was Shawnee Murphy and maybe a couple other people that were in there ahead of me, and I'm like, God damn, I didn't even go near the toilet. I couldn't bring myself to go near the toilet, and they're like, yeah, neither could we, and apparently neither could nobody else. There was like a nice quarter inch layer of piss all over the floors. Gee, I'm doing a really good job selling the Heroes Talk Labor Day Bash, but you don't need to worry because it's not at a cat smelling piss house this year.
It'll be at a hotel where they clean that for you.
That's right. It's going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Atlantic City, New Jersey, September 1st. We're going to be giving more details soon on heroestalk.tumblr.com, and I mean very soon. The date is solid. September 1st, because I bought fucking tickets, and a lot of us did, to see Louis C.K. at 10:30. So it's going to be pretty goddamn exciting.
See you when you all get out of there.
Well, I mean, ideally, we're going to do stuff before that and after. So I'd love to meet up. I'd love to have a drink.
Hopefully, it'll like run well into the next. That's a Friday night or a Saturday night?
I'm not even sure at this point.
It's one of those.
It certainly is. It's not a fucking Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we have a lot of people that it wouldn't make a difference if it was on a Wednesday.
Like me?
Yes. But it is on a Saturday, September 1st.
Actually, in September, I will be working.
What?
I'll be working soon, actually. New Jersey just fucking put the kibosh on all extensions of unemployment benefits, so...
Oh, wait, you were on unemployment? I just thought you were not employed and just were cool
Dude,
with it.
What are you kidding me?
I just thought you were cool with not having a job.
Just have zero income and just live like that?
Yeah, that's why I kind of envied you.
No, that's impossible.
Oh, so now that the gimmies are over.
Yeah, I got gypped out of 22 weeks.
I like how you got gypped. No, the fucking taxpayers have been getting gypped for you being on extension after extension. It caught up with you. Flip some fucking fries into a cardboard box. Mm-hmm. You won't do that? I mean, are you too proud to work with the Spaniards at a McDonald's and learn some of the real swears? Not like the little pussy ones that white kids know, but like the real fucking swears that have the Spanish word for devil in the middle of the phrase.
Cergara cabrón diablo.
Yeah, it's a compound, real fucking jab to the heart that calls you gay and evil and dead at the same time. You're the gay evil dead. That's the ultimate Spanish swear.
Do you know the worst swear in Italian is calling God a pig?
Is it really?
That's the most heinous possible swear in Italian is porco dio. And what's his name? The president of Italy was caught on mic saying that like maybe 2 years ago, and people fucking railed on him.
And they all ate pigs, and then they didn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
What if God was a pig? Maybe that's what it is. They don't want to eat God. They want to go home and eat their pig leg that they just threw in a silo for two years, surrounded by fucking salt.
That was delicious.
They were working on prosciutto. They don't want it to find out that that's God, and they can't eat it after the 5-year aging process. Whatever.
Does that mean the Muslims are onto something?
No, I don't think. If you're in the God, if you live in a desert and you're wearing fucking black terry cloth, you're not onto anything. No offense to the Muslims, by the way. I have no qualms with Muslims, Jews, Christians. Religious beliefs to me, I'm indifferent. You have your beliefs, I have mine. We don't need to get into a spat over it. But because I just called
I'm
them
not indifferent.
You're not, you'll call them out for wearing their ridiculous, terrible dresses.
No, I don't care about like
the what fact they that wear. They're stupid for wearing stuff in the heat and being very sweaty and not eating
That's
delicious pork.
Dumb. I mean, like you go to the desert and you wear black. That's just being stupid.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's religious or not.
Let's clarify here. Let's clarify. They don't all wear black. They only make the women wear black, so they can fry and be dank and musty between their thighs. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Ready?
Porco Dio. Sorry, eye ties. Suck on that. Wow. I don't even know where we are. Hear Us Talk, September 1st, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a bash to remember. Great. I'm glad I just insulted the Muslims and the Italians, and now I'm giving out the location that I'm going to be on September 1st. There's going to be some half-Muslim, half-Italian people that are going to stab me.
I don't think they exist.
You don't think they exist? I guarantee you they exist. They have to. There's a half-half of every combination at this point. Maybe in the 40s you'd say it's a rarity, but I think everything has been mixed at this point.
I know a kid that's half Puerto Rican, half Swedish, and his name is Tyrone.
It's pretty good. I like it. Tyrone.
Yeah, and he's like a goth kid. It's like he's completely white. White as hell.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I hope everybody shows up. Again, details to be posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/hearustalk, and our Tumblr blog, which is hearustalk.tumblr.com. Com. We're going to get that within the next few days. Is that a lofty goal? I don't know if that's... Is that too grandiose of a hope that we can figure everything out in just a few short days?
It is September. We should have... You know, we have 2 months to
Ideally, I'd like to have a lot of the Heroes Talk community and some of the listeners go into the Louis C.K. show, if tickets are even available at this point.
No, there was a lot when I went on.
There was a bunch of us in Section D, okay?
That's I almost got seat three. I know you have 4, 5, 6. I was aiming at seat three, and then...
New Jersey decided not to pay for the ticket, so...
Yeah. And then I got the news that there might be harder times ahead.
So do you have anything lined up? You said you're going to be working. Is that just, is that just hard-nosed self-promise, or is that like you have something lined up?
I've never been rejected from a job offer. I've never gone to an interview and been rejected.
Really? Okay. So every interview you've ever been on?
I got every job.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for a temp agency. A lot of my
Wait a minute. Not rejected. You've gotten called back and offered a job every time you've been on an interview.
On an interview, yes, and I'd say it's 6 or 7 interviews. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
I've worked a shitload of like different jobs, and
there was one interview I did not get.
Yeah,
one I didn't get, and that was probably the coolest of all of them. It was for the Army to produce software for their. Their vehicles, I guess. I don't even know what the fuck they actually did. All I know is that during the interview, the guy took me into a tank and showed me the solid state hard drives, and basically explained some of the weapon systems. And
when was this?
Took me around. It was years ago. Years.
And they had solid
and years
state
ago.
Back then.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I mean that was pretty exciting, but. I don't know.
Bottom.
Yeah, I just caught myself doing that. Well, I guess I have to click like on Russian techno and hotties and get some mannish fucking Islander bitches. You know what?
And if you're upgrade your browser.
Here's the thing. If you're going to have a page called Hotties on Facebook, at least pick somebody who doesn't look like they're hiding a penis to be the front page.
Yo, that's the worst picture. Like, ever since I liked that, they have definitely put up some nice pictures. I have to say, it's like, you know, people complaining about gay rights, blah, 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 blah. And then it's just a fucking ass, like a big, nice picture of an ass on my
You know what? I'll say this about that type of social update. I don't mind it. I like it. I like seeing it. Obviously, the pictures are great. But what I hate is when I see that it's been shared by a friend. When I see that one of my Facebook friends has shared it and has provided comment like, OMG, where is she? Oh, what I would do. Oh, what would you do? Facebook button clicker. What are you going to do with it? Just walk by it and not say anything? You fucking people. I'm just tired. I'm tired of
No, there's a bigger one.
Absolutely everything.
There's a bigger page than hotties.com, hotties on Facebook. There's a
don't shut page. Up, you're lying. There's no bigger page than hotties.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Alex Webbs, but
that's the one I like.
I know it's the one you like. Fat Nation. I should check.
Fat? Many. Fat Nation?
No, FAP. F-A-P.
Oh, FAP Nation, yes, okay. Yeah, and, I believe Frank tried to get all of us into these sites when we asked him, Frank, what are you doing? No, nothing. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he go, oh, my God! And share a link with us of some just fucking young broad doing a mirror self-shot.
Yeah, I think I'm way too desensitized to get excited about it.
I almost need holographic 3D imagery at this point. Yeah. A still photo does... Nothing. My entire body is a dead zone looking at a still image. I'm a little
disappointed that rap music came to the 3D spectrum before pornography did.
That's true. Although it would be a little creepy, wouldn't it? I mean, it would almost feel like, for at least a split second, that there's no escape. or that you might be jizzed on. Like, I'm not, like, I love a 3D movie when, like, someone has a thing of popcorn and they fucking fumble it and, oh, the pieces are going everywhere. They're going to hit me. I'm going to get a corn kernel in my face. The last thing I want is to be the guy that gets fucking, that has to worry about a 3D,
virtual jizz.
A 3D porn load being shot at me. Because what else are they going to do? It's all, 3D movies are always emphasizing projectiles. What other projectiles are going to be? Someone going to have a fucking a water squirting rose lapel thing where they squeeze water at you and they say ha ha? No, it's going to be someone shooting a fucking rope right into the audience.
A rope.
A rope.
Pearl necklaces all around.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
Virtual insanity.
That's what the future is made of. I was trying to remember the lyrics.
That's terrible.
I was trying to remember the lyrics. Listen, that is a great tune.
It is.
It is.
You can always get down with
it. And can you tell how old we are by me saying that it's a great tune? I think the minute you use tune, like, unironically, it's pretty fucking bad. Pretty goddamn bad.
That's the moment you stop caring about music in general.
I want to say really quickly to everybody that has been using the Amazon link, you guys are the fucking best. And, yep. And I love it. And I also want to say fuck donations, fuck PayPal, fuck Kickstarter. Yeah, it's the way to go is absolutely Amazon. So fucking good. Just out of curiosity, Steve, have you ever looked into Kickstarter? Whether it's supporting a cause or anything like that, you've never. Do you even know what it is?
No.
Okay, so Kickstarter is a website where someone has a dream, but they need money. Someone wants to do something, but they need money. So what they do is they write all about the dream, the idea, the product, and they set a sum, a goal.
It's like Shark Tank.
And they want people to donate for it. And to entice people, they put little gifts for various donation levels. So, like, for $20, you get two bracelets and a T-shirt and a personal thank you. Like, for some reason, the lower gifts always include some kind of a handwritten note or a fucking personal thank you. Like, anybody really gives a fuck that you're finally able to give it a go, and we're gonna cherish your fucking thank you. Well, for a while there was a listener of this show named Cripple Creek BBQ. Cripple Creek Barbecue is a guy who had a line of sauces, some unique recipes that a few people that have listened to this show have tried and enjoyed. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to stop working graveyard shifts and odd jobs and set up his own food truck and take his family out with him from time to time and do some cooking and make some money. So what he did is he set up a Kickstarter. And I looked at it, and I'm like, you know what? That's a noble thing. He wants to sell his sauce and cook for people. It got to me a little bit. I liked it. I was pretty impressed at his ambitions. And I saw that, oh, for $20, we will send you 3 bottles of our sauce. And $20 and a personal thank you.
That's like $7.
And I'm like, okay, fuck it. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting something here. And I guess apparently they've worked out all the costs. So maybe it doesn't cost them shit to pump out 3 bottles of sauce. So $20, fuck it. So I did that. And early on, I put my $20 in, halfway thinking, there's no way he's going to hit his $10,000 goal. There's no way he's going to get his $10,000 goal. And the only time the money gets paid out is if the goal is met. So you could find someone that's looking to raise $200,000 and throw a $50,000 donation. And if they don't hit it, they're not getting it. You're not obligated. You're not paying shit.
Oh, you're not paying, though.
No. So if he hits his goal, my $20 goes to him. And I guess he'll send me the sauce and the handwritten, heartfelt, and possibly cumin scented fucking thank you note. And so lo and behold, I follow him on Twitter, and
and for like the last 4 days of the fucking fundraiser, 35 tweets an hour reminding people to push it. We're almost there. We're going to do it. Come on, guys. Let's get this to 9,000. Come on, guys. Let's do this for 9,500. Come on. Like all the fucking live long goddamn day tweeting constantly. And it just got, it got them like, dude, how about you just fucking maybe give people something? Like, I don't know, maybe a little cooking tip. Maybe maybe a barbecue tip. Tell people how to season meat or something. And say, by the way, here's my Kickstarter. But no, it was just, we're gonna fucking do it. Donate! Like, constant demands. And I was getting fucking irritated, and I kind of wished I didn't do it at that point.
Got turned off, eh?
Yes, but I'm like, he's pushing so hard, it's not gonna happen. Fuck this dude, it's not gonna happen. All of a sudden, I see... Cripple Creek Barbecue has met their goal. Your $20 has been sent. Thank you very much for supporting another Kickstarter, whatever it is. That was, I think, last year. Now, Steve, ask me how the sauce tastes.
How is the sauce?
First, ask me how I felt after I read the heartfelt note. Ask me.
How was that heartfelt note?
I wouldn't know. Didn't receive a note. And I didn't receive my fucking sauce. I received an email asking me what type of sauce I'd like. And I promptly said garlic jalapeno. Sounds very... Or, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mexicans. Jalapeno!
Jalapeno.
I wish I knew the epic Spanish swear, which combines the accusation of being a devil, a homosexual, and some whatever else I said. I don't remember. I'm bad at callbacks. So I got the email asking what I wanted, sent it in there. Still haven't gotten the goddamn sauce. So I'm like, I wrote it off as a loss. I'm like, a month later, the guy's like, well, we got the truck. We're doing this fucking thing. We got the truck. And I look, it's like a van. And I'm like, and then I started actually thinking. Like, it amazed me that at that point, I had never really considered what he was trying to do. He was trying to build a food truck business, which involves acquiring a truck, outfitting it with cooking equipment, and having a decent stock of materials and ingredients. And he was trying to do all of that on $10,000, of which you have to pay taxes on. I don't know why people like do this on Kickstarter. They're like, well, okay, all I need is 50,000 and we can do it. If we raise the 50,000, we can do it. And they get the 50,000 and they realize, oh, I have to pay fucking taxes. Well, the whole thing's gone to shit now. So fuck it. Well, thanks for donating. We fucked up. And I've seen a few people complain that they've donated to causes like that. And I never actually got to see an email from the person that would have to explain this until I received a message for backers only. About Cripple Creek Barbecue.
Backers only.
We have failed you, is the subject. We've failed you. We have failed ourselves. Once upon a time, we turned to Kickstarter to try and raise money to help us achieve our goal of owning a food truck.
They tried to turn it back to make it sound so long ago.
Yeah. With the generous support of family, friends, and strangers, we reached a financial goal that we thought would get us on our way. We thought would get us on our way. They had no idea that $10,000 wouldn't do it. I didn't even think of it because I didn't give a fuck because it's not my dream. I saw $20 for 3 bottles of sauce and a maybe a little warm feel-good moment when you help the douchebag get on the road and sell his fucking tacos, whatever the fuck he's going to sell. To our fault, we greatly underestimated how much we would actually need from our fundraiser to make this a successful journey. With so many active backers, we also underestimated how much it would cost us in shipping to send out everyone's rewards. Both the Kickstarter program and Amazon payments take a cut of the amount that you raise. In reality, we brought in less than our original goal. So this guy bought a fucking van. I think he may have gotten a grill inside of it. I don't even know. And sent none of the shit out. Sent none of the shit out. Given the little we had, the only truck we could afford was one not built out and ready to hit the road, but we looked upon this challenge as a good thing, as we would customize the truck to our specifications. They're going to customize a truck.
They're going to pimp their ride.
Yeah. So what did they buy? A fucking $500 kid toucher van? I don't know. Then the money was gone. And then, and I love this. I love when people say this. The ultimate excuse of, well, I didn't get it done. Why? Because life got in the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, life got in the way. I you know what? I'm going to say, I'm going to say.
You know what I, hold on. You know what I read that as?
What?
The guy took the money and he's like, oh, I got a mortgage payment. I got a car payment. I got an insurance payment. I guess I got to start making hot sauce now.
Yeah, exactly. The guy saw the money and was like, oh, fuck, I actually got to get a food truck. So he probably just photographed some abandoned fucking van, some van somebody jettisoned, just jumped out of on a freeway, took a picture of it, like, yep, this is the new van, and posted it, and then just, like, never posted again. Paid, like, half of one of his bills, is still wildly in debt, probably doesn't have a job, is still as fucking irresponsible as ever, and it just cements the idea that people that have an idea and are willing to work for an idea will fucking make it happen. People that wait for money to just be given to them will fucking squander it. Steve,
I haven't squandered any money that was just given to me.
What about New Jersey's money? Did you burn that up?
I burned it up, but I've used it to keep myself afloat for the time that I've had it.
Steve, I expect an email to the entire state of New Jersey with the subject line, we have failed.
We have failed. I have failed as a worker.
Exactly.
In the great state of New Jersey.
Yeah. I think that would be good. So here's the last paragraph. This is the big sum up. There have been times we felt like throwing in the towel and raising the white flag and giving up not only on the dream of a food truck, but on making barbecue sauce at all.
The dream of a food truck.
The dream. That feeling still persists. Oh. No matter our ultimate decision, we still hold true to our obligations to our backers. Rewards will go out. You know what? Keep the fucking sauce. I don't need destitute hands crafting sauce for me. I don't need somebody who's gonna fucking make this sauce with a fucking grudge and in a harried sensibility. I don't need him to be all fucked up in the head with unclean hands squeezing tomatoes and chopping peppers.
Unclean hands?
Yeah, exactly. I don't need him to do that. By the way, another jab at the fucking price. Shipping costs for these rewards fall in the $10 to $15 range. That's a lot of money that we don't have, but we'll find a way to get you your sauce.
Why don't they just knock it down to like one bottle of sauce? What? And still send out something. You know, still
I wish I could find the fucking the actual auction. Here it is. I'm sorry. It was a $12,000 goal. And he received $12,230. And that was on April 30th, 2011. Hold on. $20 or more, okay, you will receive a heartfelt thank you note from us. E-thank yous on Twitter and Facebook. And I'm sorry. Oh, one of our sauces. Oh, I thought it was three because he mentions original, caramelized, and roasted garlic. But you get one. So I guess I only picked one. I think I must have checked all of them. Pretty goddamn fucking bad. So if you go to kickstarter.com/project/CrippleCreekBBQ, you'll read the entire letter and realize that I may as well have just shoved $20 right up my fucking ass and diarrhea shattered into a goddamn bowl and watched it spiral right down the drain.
You could probably make more money selling that video on YouTube than he could trying to launch his fucking barbecue sauce.
I believe so. I absolutely believe
so. I think a video of people shitting money would definitely do well on YouTube.
If you took a $20 bill, shoved it up your ass, and video recorded yourself, just, you know, nothing improper, hold the camera to your face as you grunt, and then stand up and hold the camera to the bowl and flush brown corn and just shitty liquid and a $20 bill down the toilet, you will probably generate more AdSense income than this person has left after this whole ordeal of 159 backers. It's 159 people that gave money to this guy.
Wow.
Holy shit. Pledge. Holy shit. Hold on. Oh, my God. Pledge.
Is he doing it again?
No. I'm looking at the different tiers. I never scroll down this far. Pledge 500 or more. One backer. Someone actually gave 500 bucks to this dude. And you want to know what he promises to this $500 backer?
Yes, absolutely.
Cripple Creek Barbecue will cater your next birthday party. We will bring the sauce and rubs, our cooking skills, the smoker, and provide the people and... Oh, and you provide the people and the food.
You provide the food?
Yeah, you provide the food.
So he's just, what, walking around with a glass of barbecue sauce?
He's bringing sauce and rub and his ability. And he'll cook your food for you.
But you provide the food?
Yes, you provide the food. Seven people gave $200. Jesus Christ, this guy is a fucking swindler. Oh, you know what? Fuck Kickstarter. Fuck begging. If you have something you want to get done, find a fucking way and just do it.
If something is good, just it's going to be instantly marketable. You don't have to worry about marketing if you have a good idea. Yeah. That's it.
I want to make sauce. Don't you see it? That's my dream, making some sauce.
You know what? I have fucking 2 gallons of hot sauce in my refrigerator right now.
Just put some honey in it and sell it. Get empty bottles. Get empty bottles and put a nice custom label on it and start a Kickstarter for fucking 12 grand. Repeat this guy's success. Because all you have to do is wait a year and then send in a heartfelt apology. Apparently. You can get out of paying any of the money back. And,
as long as you apologize?
Just send life got in the way. I was going to make all those wishes and dreams come true, but, you know, life got in the way. My unemployment ran out. I had to go get a job. Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, someone's suggesting you should make a Kickstarter to fundraise the efforts of building Kickstarter 2. Oh, my goddamn goodness. I want to also say happy birthday to Mike Feedback.
Hell yeah.
Mike Feedback, guest on episode 338. He's the independent rapper that impressed me with his ability. And I got to say, he's become something of a friend of the show, I guess.
Yeah, Mike always supports everything of us.
Yeah, and he released a new song. At the time he was on the show, he was on the fence of whether he was going to record anything or not, and it seems like he's been putting a lot more effort in.
I was just going to say that. It seems like there's more stuff from his Mike Feedback post-show than there is pre-show, which is like 3 years for me, because I've been friends with the kids since I was little. So
absolutely, and the thing is, maybe we bolstered his careers.
And his confidence.
Yeah. I think that's Clayton in the chat room suggesting that we have too many friends named Mike. But we only have one named Mike Feedback, who is a rapper. And I'd like to play his new song, which is called Mind Meld, as we take a break on the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com.
Listen to the lyrics.
That's right. Pay attention to the words. It's Mike Feedback, Mind Meld.
Yeah. Met a girl looking for a miracle. It was years ago. She told me as a single tear fell to where she pissed her nose. She was always filled with loneliness and hopelessness. She told me that
for me. Told her that I noticed it. She was so convinced I'm special though. She said if she never gotten married, then she probably never let me go. But she never left them though. Didn't make a spectacle, cause I ain't trying to see me on a Jerry Springer episode. She was always saying that her husband's an asshole. She wants to reach the stars, but her marriage is a black hole. Over time I learned to react slow, try not to get involved. If I did, it would be a fiasco. She ain't the only person that been living with problems. She act like she the first lady, like she Hillary Rodham. I've known what it's like hitting the bottom. I've been kicked out and jobless. She admired what this kid had accomplished. Knew where it was going from the moment she met me. An easy switching gears like it is with a 10-speed. Instead I switched the soundtrack, wishing I never met her. Or that maybe she choose the better man like Eddie Vedder. It ain't cool that she's using me. If you know where I'm coming from, with him physically, but thanks to me when she's fucking him, it was nonsense. I needed out like a bomb threat. History repeated, but I haven't wrote that song yet. Imagine you could see what I see, give you a mind meld, or tell it in reverse like that episode of Seinfeld. Throw my mind on race like a Clydesdale. I've always gotten up every single time I fail. I think my lucky stars that I rhyme well. I guess I'm made to win no matter what. I'm keeping it together like a safety pin, no matter thick or thin. Even at times it wasn't funny, all this shit goes through my mind.
That makes me wonder, buddy.
Further back before I had my first attack of stomach pain, mom's caught with news that made me crash like a fucking plane. Stop the dance and just give me the answer. She said, I don't know how to say it, but your father's got cancer. I remember asking repeatedly, well, what's it mean in disbelief? Couldn't stop thinking, is this a fucking dream? Heard it happen to other people, but yo, that wasn't me. Dropped the phone and fell as if the floor was pulled from under me. Had to call my pops and so the tears had to stop then. Told me that the doc said it's called non-Hodgkin's. He may even live for years, at least it's 6 months. It all depends how early they got this picked up. The chemo started and continued through the winter. At the same time, I was getting sick and getting thinner. My pops said it was stress, acting like it was him to blame. I told him that it wasn't, guzzled gin, tried to end the pain. Self-prescribing doctors got me on his medicine. $1.20, but 5'11", I was a skeleton. So thin, my old friends don't even know it's me. Wishing hopefully that I could make it through this Crohn's disease. You won't believe, had the flies down to Florida. Hoping we'll be speaking to the doctor, not the coroner. Trying not to cry while arriving at the hospital. Your pops in that position, ain't a damn thing stopping you. But I might try. As I approached, he asked me to move close. The chemo paralyzed his right eye. He couldn't see me. Is that Michael? He asked to me. There's no sound. I hit it well, but nearly broke down. Days later, mom's learned of it first. I guess the chemo hit him hard. He took a turn for the worst. My mind could have burst. Because I don't believe in mediums. I knew that this would be the very last time I'd speak to him. I told him that I miss him, and that I'd make him proud and graduate. Don't think I've ever had a sadder day. I miss you, you're in a place with a better view. When we remember you when the day hits May 22. Imagine you could see what I see and give you a mind meld, or tell it in reverse like that episode of Seinfeld. Throw my mind on race like a Clydesdale. I've always gotten up every single time I fail. I thank my lucky stars that I rhyme well. I guess I'm made to win no matter what. I'm keeping it together like a safety pin, no matter thick or thin. Even at times it wasn't funny, all this shit goes through my mind.
That makes me wonder, buddy.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hi, this is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, and I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting all of the shows on HeroesTalk.com. The reason we do it is because we love making these episodes for you. When we see the kind of support we're getting, it's incredible. It's almost like the first time we felt that tingle in the bottom of our ball sack. It's that good. And as a reminder, we don't accept or seek donations, so you'll never see us pushing a PayPal link or anything like that. Some podcasts do it, but to us, it feels wrong. If you'd like to help us out monetarily, all you have to do is go to heroestalk.com/Amazon, click through to Amazon, and buy yourself something nice. Buy your family something nice. Why don't you just show your neighbor who's been dumping yard waste all over your property, who's boss, by giving him a polite letter and buying him a gift from Amazon through heroestalk.com/Amazon. Get that new iPad. Get a better TV. Buy a replacement enema hose. They have absolutely anything you'd want, and you and your shitty neighbor deserve it all. heroestalk.com/Amazon. Click through. Buy something great. You get a present, we get a small cut. Wins all around. Thank you again for your support.
Hey, this is Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ New Style Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Yes, microwavable foods indeed. Thank you, Mike from Queens. One third of the crew on Geeks of Rage Show. It's geeksofrageshow.com. Subscribe and download everything they've ever done. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking of beautiful things.
You ever get in your underwear and play video games on the PlayStation Network?
Of course, all the time. And I eat microwavable foods almost constantly. And I also do both of those things when I listen to Bug Zapper Radio, which I'm hoping will be live tomorrow night. Clayton took a week off.
They will.
But Bug Zapper Radio is definitely live tomorrow night.
Yes.
And let's just say, if it's a Wednesday night, you're going to get a Bug Zapper Radio. And if you don't, well, piss on that. I don't know what the fuck. How was I going to continue with that line of talk? All you need to know is that Bug Zapper Radio is a fine show. And if you're not listening to it, you're really missing something great. And, of course, I'll mention Best in Show Radio. BestinShowRadio.com. What a fine show. I don't know when you're going to hear a new episode, unfortunately. There are some things. There are some things brewing. There's talk going on. Hey, remember that year that they didn't do a show? It's going to be far shorter than that. That they do another show again. Is that okay. Fair to say, or will I be eating these words?
No, I don't think you will.
No? Okay, so you think, why don't you make a prediction? When will Best in Show Radio be back?
Ooh.
Prediction time.
I'm going to say July, but late July.
July, but late July. Well, that's a fair guess, because they are on Monday nights, and the next Monday is in July. But you did limit it to late July. I'm going to say they're going to be live.
Next week.
I'm probably going to say July 9th, they will be live. July 9th, they will be live.
So July 27th is what I'm going with.
So here's what you do. Go to heroestalk.com, check out the Facebook page, check out the blog, check our tweets. We will keep you aware. When they go live, you'll be able to hear it. If you even give a shit... at this point, I urge you that you should give a shit. You absolutely should.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're an incredible show, and if I'm frustrated at all, it's because I don't get to hear new episodes of the show because they're on some kind of a cockamamie hiatus. Okay, get your shit together, guys. You love doing it.
Best in Show Keith. Best in Show Chris. Where are you? What are you doing?
Where are you guys? Will you be at the Heroes Talk Labor Day Bash? Will you hang out with Clayton
and
Steve? Will you hang out with all of us? Some of us who's taking a goddamn plane. Can you believe that someone is flying to hang out with all of us?
You know what? And that is my main inspiration for going this year, is to hang out with Clayton.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
That is my main inspiration. I'm not going to the show.
I hope he figures out how to get there, because I mean, he's a smart dude.
No, he's going into the airport in Atlantic City, isn't he?
I don't know. He may be. I'm saying he's a smart guy.
Just take a fucking cab. He's, to whatever.
He's a smart guy, but he could still fucking outsmart himself into Camden. Really? He might just end up into the heart of Camden.
He ends up in Camden
next to that fucking house. That I saw the white people must leave banner hung up. Like, when people that live near the woods have those cutouts of bears and wolves to keep them away? I wonder if that was the ghetto equivalent for white people.
Wait, in the chat room, he says he's flying into Philly and then hitchhiking into Atlantic City.
Beautiful.
He'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
If you wear a set of pink shorts... and some kind of a Freddie Mercury top, may actually get picked up.
Hide your accent.
Yeah. Don't use that Southern accent unless the driver requests cowboy play.
Oh yeah.
some kind.
Then put it on more than you normally do.
Well, I do say there. Thank you for the ride. God damn it. I don't even know what the hell voice that is.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Well, I see. Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous fucking time. Speaking of incredible times, Steve, I've discovered something new. I've encountered and experienced something new that I didn't think existed as far as partying goes, as far as celebration goes. Have you ever heard of a freedom party?
What, for like America?
That's what I thought. I received an invite for the official Freedom Bash, and I saw the date was June 23rd.
Sounds like an early 4th of July.
I'm like, yeah, it's a little early for 4th of July, but okay, let's see what it is. And I want to read the authentic description. So I'm going to give me just a second here.
Straight up Facebook.
Yeah, it's got a flag waving. It says official Freedom Bash. I mean, it's hosted by a guy I know who was proud of the country enough to mount a permanent American flag to his car's antenna years ago. So I figured, yeah, maybe he's into an Independence Day, wants to celebrate it early and keep it going. I click on it, and it says, okay, Saturday, June 23rd, come celebrate my official Freedom Bash as the bitch, in all caps, is officially gone. As of May 30th. And this is a friend where I went to his wedding.
Sounds like a divorce party.
I went to his wedding. I saw the blessed union of him and his bride.
Blessed union.
And I celebrated.
The sanctity of their marriage
I ate food, and now I'm reading an invite to a party where the activities are prefaced by as the bitch is officially gone as of May 30th. It'll be a great time. Drinks, food, great friends, maybe some line dancing in the living room. That was a little suspect, but I'm intrigued.
Line dancing.
I'm intrigued at the prospect of a divorce party. So when I saw it, I wasn't sure if I should go. Is it going to be like awkward? And
I would be all over that shit.
But I heartily clicked on accept at the urging of Amanda, who says,
"Really?
Yeah." I said, "I don't know. Should I go?" She goes, yeah, you have to go to your friend's divorce party.
And wait, did she go to the marriage party with you?
No, she did not go to the wedding. She didn't go. This is one of the weddings that I was solo to.
Solo.
I've gone to two weddings without Amanda, and one of it's usually that she was given tickets to something, and one of them for one of my best friends. The excuse I had to tell people, which was absolutely true, is that Amanda had fucking tickets to the circus. So she couldn't go. She actually went to the circus instead of my friend's fucking wedding.
But you went.
Oh, I went. I'm not gonna. Oh, okay. What am I gonna see? Some greased
sorry,
up
guys. Go to the circus.
Some greased up loser doing a fucking riding a bike and being pretending he's so scared and hasn't done this.
I have to see the elephant.
Years. Yeah, if I don't smell elephant shit, it's not a complete year. Yeah, she had to go to the fucking circus. So this is a new concept to me, the Freedom Bash, the divorce party.
And I've never heard it called a Freedom Bash or a Freedom Party. I've always heard it called a divorce party.
So you've heard of the divorce party? I've never.
Absolutely.
I've never encountered it. Have you ever attended one?
No, I wish I could have because they sound like they're awesome.
they're pretty good. I mean, think about the wedding is like, oh, there's all this nervousness and it doesn't fully ease up. It doesn't fully go away after the ceremony, and it kind of works its way into the people that attend the wedding and the reception and all that stuff. And it's nothing like that at a divorce party. The entire marriage and the separation and breakup of the marriage is behind the person. What is, what will be has already been worked out. Things are divvied up. Things are already planned. This guy's ready to start fucking strange, ugly women just to see what it's like again.
And it's someone embracing a new life. That's what it is.
He is being reborn as a single man.
Instead of sacrificing part of their life, they're now embracing the entirety of their life plus something else.
Yeah. So I got there and he had the whole fucking house decorated like fucking like Independence Day. There was fucking flags. it looked like you know those like those half circle flags that look like the American flag? He had those fucking lining the entire house. Just completely nice. like a goddamn GOP national convention. custom banners made, all the shit, cheese plates. It was a nice spread, chicken wings, things on sterno. I like when sternos are used. I like that. Hot food, ready to go, take as much as you fucking want. It was pretty good. I gotta say, it was a fun time.
He would try to one up whatever his wife could do, obviously.
Yeah, well, he told me that after he had set everything up, she had to come by and pick something up. So she walks into this house that's fucking decorated and has a sign that says my official freedom bash hosted by ROB officially renting out bitches. and she called him immature and left.
Oh, I bet he was broken up over that one.
He could not have cared at all. He did not give anything. Like, he probably enjoyed that. It was a good time. I haven't been to, like, a party. Like, I've been to bars and I've hung out with people. I haven't been to a fucking party in quite a while. So I don't know if this was a great party or if it was just a party and I haven't done that.
This is the last party you went to?
Yeah, this is the last one I've been to.
Did you have a good time?
I had a good time.
Good party.
But I guess there's some things that differentiated it. I mean, there's the whole thing of a marriage has fucking broken up, and that's why we're celebrating. But there was also a piñata with her image on it. So, I mean, we have Clayton's in the chat room saying it's kind of a bitch move. It's like a coming out party like a 16-year-old would have.
I don't know.
Well, would a 16-year-old have a piñata at their party? Probably not. So it might be even younger than that. There was some kind of a youthful ease about him. And he hung that fucking piñata up and took out an aluminum bat and beat the shit out of it. And candy spilled all over the floor. I grabbed a pack of dots and a Tootsie Roll and finished
it. It should have been filled with condoms and airplane bottles.
I guess. But airplane bottles are going to shatter, aren't they? Unless you eat the plastic.
No, they're plastic.
Yeah, is that right? Okay.
Most of them.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was a good goddamn time, and I highly recommend going to a divorce party. I kind of want to go to a different flavor of divorce party. I want to go to one where the thing isn't completely settled. I want to see this person trying to enjoy themselves, but just
sweating a little.
Yeah. The next divorce party I go to, I want it to be an almost divorced party. I think they're good. I think they're healthy.
An on the rocks party.
Yes, I think it's a healthy thing. And whenever I hang out with my buddy Bobby A, it's always fun because I get to hang out with Mr. A. And Mr. A, his dad, is quite a character. He has got some stories that he likes to tell, which I'm not sure if they're true. I would bet a healthy amount of money that they are not fucking true, but boy do I love hearing them. And the conviction with which he says them.
Good story is a good story.
First of all, I didn't even know he was there until he pointed at me and goes, "This fucking guy's over there walking down the street off his fucking ass." That's the last thing Bobby needs.
And he's Italian, I take
oh
it.
Oh my God, as Italian as a fucking, just a puddle of marinara. with basil and a bottle of hair gel next to the plate. So he points to some guy that's tottering down the street, completely drunk, and says, "This fucking guy just left. He's off his fucking ass." So I go and I kind of run down the street because I know everybody who's there at this point. I've met everybody. I've been introduced to everybody. So I'm going to just go and try and talk sense into a drunk on a fucking busy road. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking. Crossing a busy road to what? Save the life of an unreasonable drunk? He's off his fucking ass. So I ran out there. I crossed the street. See this guy, like, unable to walk a straight line, and dipping into the fucking lane that's rapidly approaching his back. Like, he's on the far side of the road. So I go and I say, "Hey," and he goes, "Oh, here we go." He's I can't see his face, so I don't know who he is, but he's got some kind of like a collared shirt with the collar popped. He's one of those fucking guys. So I'm like, is this guy a fucking
I would have been like, yo, you see the dotted line? Just follow that.
Yeah, yeah. Just see if prove to the cops you're not drunk. Why don't you see if you can go heel to toe on that dotted line? Do your best. No, so I get a closer look. It's like some 55-ish-year-old dude. And I said, where are you coming from? Just to make sure he's not coming from that party and I didn't see him. He goes, I was at the beach and nobody wanted to drive me home. Nobody wanted to. This is what you get.
Wait, how far were you from the beach?
We were near a lake, a certain lake. And he had gone to one of the public beaches by this lake and shit-faced blitzed. So he couldn't even fucking remember his name. Asked him what his name was. I don't fucking know that shit. Are you a fucking cop? Like that. And I'm wearing camo shorts and fucking flip-flops.
I would have been like, no, I'm U.S. Like, fucking secret agency.
I said, so you didn't come from any house parties? No, I didn't. I came from the beach. I'm like, okay. Just try to stay to the right of the telephone pole. See you later.
Fucking
good
later.
Luck, buddy. He's like, well, nobody wanna give me a ride home. I'm like, well, you're like, well, why don't you just like take a nap on somebody's lawn or something? Like, why don't you just lay down in the grass?
Fall to the right and sleep.
Yeah, just take a couple fucking winks on somebody's lawn, and if they nudge you with a broom or a shotgun, just get walking. And no, he just went, I'm gonna be all right. And I'm like, okay, good. Yeah, right at the telephone poles. And he goes, yeah, right at the telephone poles, points immediately to the left and into traffic, and actually starts walking that way. And I'm like, no, other side. And he doesn't fucking hear me. He's just going weaving in and out of the lane. I don't know if he lived. I didn't hear about any deaths. So I did my best. Tried to talk some sense into him. But in any event, I got back and I said, yeah, it wasn't somebody that was at our party. He goes, yeah, well, that guy was fucking off his ass. Bobby doesn't need this shit right now.
So Mr. A, did he have any other good stories?
Yeah, so Mr. A just starts making observations about the party, which is turning him into story mode. He's like, I'm going to have to tell Bobby to shut this fucking garage door before that piece of shit next door. And he fucking like really ramps his voice up and starts pointing towards the house. And I look and the windows are open. But his piece of shit next door starts fucking complaining. You know, last time a goddamn tree in the storm, a branch fell off and landed in his fucking lawn. And I come over and the fucking the branch was dragged into Bobby's front fucking lawn. So I got my chainsaw, cut it up into pieces, and throw it in his front fucking yard. And I say, you got your tree back.
Wait. Did you relate your story of your neighbor?
You know I did, Steve. You know I did. I told him, I said, you know, I had a problem with a neighbor, and I was so fucking, like, I'm telling him this, and I'm like, we're kind of the same, you and me. I really stuck it to a neighbor, too, who's doing me wrong. Except I didn't tell him that I left a hand-typed note. I didn't tell him that I didn't do this face-to-face. I told him, I went over to the guy, and I said, you know, you should stop dumping shit on my lawn. He's like, yeah, don't fucking do that. You gotta tell him. You gotta say it right to their fucking face. I'm like, yeah, right to his face.
Was he drunk?
Who, Mr. A?
Yeah,
not a chance. Didn't drink. No, he's just like that, using the dropping f bombs, being over the top, crotchety. Fun though, really fun.
Fun and crotchety.
And then he looks over at me and says, "You know, every story you ever heard about me is true. So remember that," is what he said. And I, I'm trying to think like what stories has anybody ever told me? Like, I remember, oh shit, I remember my buddy Scott told me that he coached a little league team. He was one of the coaches in our little league, and he had a couple of rules, and that's all he had was two rules. And Scott told me that what he would do is he would start every season off by walking up and down a line of kids that are waiting to play little league and waiting to learn how to play baseball. And he would say, I got two rules. If you bring your own bat, I'm going to throw it in the woods. Don't bring your own bat. Don't bring your own ball. If you bring your own ball, I'm going to throw it in the woods.
if you bring your own helmet, I'm gonna throw it in the woods. You got me?
So he would just try to intimidate.
You mean bat?
Bat, ball, and helmet.
Oh, so it was three rules.
Yeah, but it's the same rule. Don't bring anything or else you'll throw it in the fucking woods. So people are like, well, can I bring a water bottle? No, you could bring that. Don't bring any baseball equipment. Can I bring my cleats? You could bring your cleats.
Bring your glove.
Look, if you bring a glove, you can keep it. If you bring a ball, I'm going to throw it in the woods. And so I'm thinking about this. And I remember that he told me once there was this kid, Keith, who was like, he was kind of like the kid that, like he had a Nintendo before everybody. He had an in-ground pool with a slide. And he was like that, just that kid that got the cool shit before anybody else did.
Sounds like me.
So at one point, he was into like, baseball memorabilia. And he was a Yankees fan. So he got the baseball.
Sounds a lot like me.
So he got a baseball signed by every Yankee that played that year. Don Mattingly, fucking everybody. And he brought it and showed everybody. Also, he's like, oh, look at this. Don Mattingly. Wow. Mr. A comes over and goes, what the fuck did I tell you? Rips that out of the kid's hand and throws it into the woods. That's the story I heard. Rips the autographed baseball with every Yankee signature on it, throws it into the woods as far as he can. Ball is never seen again. Wow. I asked him about this. I said, did you have a rule when you were coaching your team that if they brought a bat, you were going to throw it in the woods? Yup. I had a couple rules. If you bring your own ball, I'm going to throw it in the woods. If you bring your own bat, I'm going to throw it in the woods. I said, yeah. Do you remember when Keith brought that signed ball? He goes, yup. And I threw it in the woods. He confirmed it.
Man.
That was a story I've loved since I heard it secondhand. I absolutely fucking love that story. It's just so perfect. The arrogance.
And you got confirmation.
Yeah, and he definitely confirmed it. Now he starts going off. He's like, you should have seen when I first got to this town. Everybody thinks they're gonna make a mockery of me. Now I'm gonna sum up some of these stories, and kind of go into them. I'm not gonna tell the entire story. I was out there for like an hour with the guy. He told me that people were, when he first moved there, he didn't have a fence, and his house is surrounded by two streets that kind of converge into a point. So his property ends at a point. So he was saying that people would take that point a little too, or not as sharply, and cut across his lawn on like dirt bikes and make a lot of mess and noise. Yeah, and ruin his lawn. And he called the cops and he said, there's nothing, they said, there's nothing we could do. It's a private street. So there's nothing we can do. He's like, okay, private street. They're not going to do anything. These kids are going to keep going on my lawn. You know, one night they do it. Next thing you know, the neighborhood hears a gunshot. And nobody hears the dirt bikes ever again. They come over, some of the neighbors, they say, what did you do? I show them my badge. And I'm like, I'm thinking like, I've known Bob for like ever. I've never heard that his dad was a cop. I show him my badge. He said, what are you going to do about it? And nobody said anything. So either he's impersonating an officer or he's trying to convince me that he had been a cop. I don't know like what was what. I don't know if he just had a badge that was like a badge that a pretend like I get out of shit by showing this badge, or if he's trying to convince me that he used to be a police officer. I don't know his background that well, but I guess you take it for what it is. He showed a badge and people stopped. They didn't bother him anymore. So he's, I guess, insinuating that somebody shot at these kids on a dirt bike.
My God.
And he was able to protect the noise of the street.
I would just lay out caltrops. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a little bit over the top, right? Well,
that's getting there.
It's getting there. So the next thing he told me is, so I drive down the street going to work. Notice they put a stop sign at the end of my street. Go home, get my tools. I take it down, throw it in the woods.
He threw it in the woods.
Everything he has, he throws in the woods. I don't know.
I would love to search those woods that he threw everything into.
It was different woods. Apparently, whenever he's encountered with more than three trees, he just has to throw something at them. So he said, tell me he removed the stop sign. And comes back a week later, it's back up. The third time he tries to remove it, he says a cop spots him doing it, asks him what he's doing. And he's told me that he confronted the cop and told them that since it's a private street and you guys don't do nothing around here, the neighbors have elected me sheriff of the street. This is what he's telling me. He's told the cops.
Maybe that was the badge he had. Maybe he made his own gold sheriff of the street badge.
He made a sheriff of the street.
It says sheriff of the street. Everyone backed off.
And it actually worked. It worked on a couple of kids. And apparently he didn't get into any trouble. I said, well, what did they say? He's like, nothing. They backed off.
Sheriff of the street, son.
So I'm like, okay. So he's told the cops that he's been elected sheriff of a street. And now everything's cool. They don't care. So, okay, that's a little bit far-fetched, I think. Then he says, Mischief Night. Like, okay, great. A lot of kids like to do a lot of mischief. So I go on my roof with a shotgun.
My roof?
He's saying...
The top of the house.
He's perched on his roof with a shotgun. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I've heard that. People do that as an intimidation thing. He said, I saw somebody throwing some soap and some toilet paper at my house. Next thing you know, the neighbors hear a shotgun blast. You never see another drop of toilet paper on my street ever again. I'm telling you. They had, you know, privately owned streets, fine by me. Privately owned streets, fine by me. So he's telling me, let's just recap here. I believe him that he threw the autographed ball in the woods. I want to believe that more than I want to believe in my next breath. He lied to the cops, I'm guessing, about being elected as sheriff of the street. I have to believe that to be a lie. I've never heard of such an election or such a post that he could fill. He told me he shot at dirt bike riders. He told me he shot at a midnight a mischief night griefer and ended mischief night effectively forever because nobody's ever done it again in his street. And then he told me something, two more stories which are unbelievable. He said one night some broad starts running down the street naked. My neighbor comes out with a blanket. She's crying. God bless me. You know, he died. He had cancer. But him and his wife go and they put a blanket around this broad. They ask what happened. She points up to the top of the road near the woods and said she was being raped. Couple of guys, you know, go out on a date. They go have their way with her. They were raping her. I go up there and I hear a bunch of laughing, snickering, and all that. Me, my neighbor, we go in, we get our baseball bats, we beat the fuck out of those guys. He told me about an hour later we go out there and beat the fuck out of those guys. An hour, they're just waiting in the woods. And this shit doesn't happen.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Depends on how long ago it was, man. Because, like, my grandfather... Happen. Dude, honestly, true story. My grandfather... I mean, the guy died in 1987. But I've heard stories from all of my aunts and uncles that my grandfather... And my mom. That my grandfather got cut off when he was driving. And keep in mind, my grandmother, she died at 93. She never drove a car.
Oh, Jesus.
And my grandfather just had such hardcore road rage. He couldn't stand her driving, number one. So she never drove a car, ever. So, but he literally pulled people out of their cars and just fisted them in the face.
What? Oh,
until they were bloody.
Okay, I was going to say, that is the ultimate in road rage. You pull someone out of their car and fist them?
Not up the ass. Just straight. He was a semi-pro boxer.
You fist them. That'll teach you. Next time there'll be no lard.
No, he would
knock him across the face and just lay him out.
He would box people out on Route 23 in New Jersey.
Jesus.
Box them out. Make them pull over. Get out of his car. Open their fucking driver's side door because who used to drive with their door unlocked or locked and just beat the hell out of it. It happened like 4 or 5 times.
Well, yeah. Clayton,
I doubt it, man.
Clayton's saying that, yeah, you know, these stories that, survive, you know, years and, get passed down, people embellish. And I'm gonna chalk up a bunch of these stories to embellishment, especially this one.
All right. I would say a bit, but I wouldn't put it out of the, realm of possibility.
Your grandfather? I agree. That definitely happens. I mean, people pull shit, people out of cars every day in New Jersey and beat the shit out of
them. No, and you know what? That actually happened to a friend of mine.
No, I'm saying it happens. I'm not discounting it. That definitely
happens. It used to happen more, and people just don't realize it now. Like, but people expect everyone to be all fucking nice and happy-go-lucky.
Well, let me see your gauge on this last story that he told me. He said, I pretty much have the confidence of my whole street at this point.
Got the confidence.
And a couple of them, you know, the neighbors are complaining that, you know, this guy is drag racing up and down. By the way, it's a one-lane street, so I don't know who he's drag racing. He's got some kind of a Barracuda, some muscle car. He's going up and down, whipping around the corner and slamming on the gas, going down, making all kinds of, I got small kids. So, you know, I wait for him. It's coming every day, you know, every single day, regularity, same time. Next time he comes down there, I time it perfectly. I go in the street and I stand there. I'm carrying a 4x4. And he thinks I'm going to move as he turns his corner. I'm not going to move. He speeds down at me. I take the 4x4, throw it right through his fucking windshield. He told me he threw a fucking 4x4 through the guy's windshield, hit him in the head with it, and the guy complained to the cops, and the cops said, "My hands are tied." That's what he told me.
I would agree.
No! If you
plausible.
No, not at all. Not
it's
at all.
Not broken.
Not at fucking all. First of all, Steve, let me just say this, okay? If you throw a 4x4 and you manage to get it through a fucking windshield and it hits somebody in the face, they're not going to be talking to the cops like, "Oh, this guy fucking threw a 4x4 at me." No, you're going to be fucking dead. First of all, who is fucking...
You don't have to throw it. You don't have to throw it far.
And who is able...
Just get it in the air. The kinetic force of the car coming at you.
What is he, a caber tosser? In the air. Can he toss the caber too? A 4x4 is not a fucking small piece of wood.
No, well, it's a double of 2x4.
Even Jesus. Even Jesus had to drag that shit, okay? Mr. A is not fucking treating a 4x4 like a goddamn javelin, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not moving either. He's speeding at me. I threw a 4x4 through his fucking windshield. And I'm just dying. I'm laughing. I'm fucking soaking this. I'm like, how the fuck are you going to tell this to people? How are you going to tell this to people and not have them think that you're absolutely lying? There is no science to back this shit up. Mythbusters would not even accept this as a fucking submission. Although I'd love to see them try. I'd love to see them get a Mr. A lookalike. Have him stand in front of a fucking speeding Barracuda and try to throw a fucking 4x4 through the windshield. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dude, they shot a chicken through a windshield.
I'm sure. How fast was the chicken moving and how fast was the car moving?
No, it was, I think it was an F-15.
We have a caller, 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Steve. Who's this?
This is Clayton from Texas. How are you guys?
Clayton from Texas. Thank you very much for calling the show, buddy. Are you listening to some of these stories that we're...
Yes, absolutely, sir. The issue that I have is, like, okay, we all have stories we tell, you know? And as we get a little older, we embellish them. Like, hey, stories, hey, my dad, I thought I'd kick his ass. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You have to, okay, but I was with you, okay, the guy might have gone over there and said something to the kids. He might not have kicked their ass, but he might have gone over there and said something. But the whole 4x4 thing, first of all, he said he grabbed the 4x4. Okay, like...
Where'd he grab it from?
The standard 4x4 is what, 6 foot long, or did he grab a little block, a little piece of it?
He told me he grabbed a 4x4. You know,
it's like 6-7 foot.
I mean, unless he's talking about a cube that he can just fucking throw over his shoulder.
It's a 4x4x4.
He made it seem like he threw it like a fucking tree trunk through the guy's car.
Okay. Like all good guys wear black kind of shit. Like,
yep.
Come on. Like, first of all, the car's coming. Is it possible? Yes.
Sure.
However, the amount of force he would have to throw it, like, hey, so you're just the sheriff? No, you should be a superhero.
He is the sheriff of the street. Sheriff of his neighborhood, or whatever he called it.
No, sheriff of the street.
Sheriff of the street. He had a badge and everything. Cops honor it, apparently. It's okay.
Because
he's never gotten busted. Funny how,
exactly, I'm just like this vigilante that never gets caught, the kind of shit that I'm dealing out justice, and the cops, they say there's nothing, our hands are tied. Well, you stood on a fucking public street and threw a fucking piece of metal at somebody's car.
Captain America, they wrote that after me.
And he
they're gonna cuff you.
He thinks I'm moving. I'm not moving.
I ain't moving 1 foot to the left.
Yeah, no. I'm willing to get murdered by a car just so I can throw lumber through it.
You're in the middle of the fucking street and you threw something at his car. You're going to jail. It's funny about this story is that it doesn't matter where you are in the country. Like, I know the same guy.
Yeah.
But it's just a slightly different accent, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, dude, the truth is, you know what that guy is? He's the same guy that when you were in high school, a little kid was always, like, embellishing shit, like, yeah, man, I made this spud launcher and
it's three barrels. I could shoot a whole bag of potatoes.
You know why we won? I'll tell you about a battle I was in.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, this guy was jerking off in Canada praying that he didn't get fucking called.
That same guy, goddamn kill that thing, skewered it right on the goddamn tree.
That guy, I believe that kid is not an embellisher. That guy definitely put a fucking a skewer right in the heart of that squirrel. Mounted him like a fucking Willie Mays Hayes set of gloves on the wall.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
Who is it? But, to take it to another angle on your story, you ever notice the people that I've ever met that I know that know how to deal?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the people that, the people who talk about it, as a rule, I've never seen them deal. But the people that I know for a fact, it's usually, like, it's very quiet. They fucking take care of it. It's no big, hey, look what I did shit. It's just kind of a justice and death out, and
took care of it. Had to do that, made it happen.
You don't want any cops getting intervened.
This guy,
you don't tell stories like that.
This guy turned himself into a fucking preacher, just walking into town. Outlaw Josie Wales just fucking shaking everything up. Fucking, he actually told me that he found out where the governor meets his cronies, and he walked. He's like, so this is where. So this is where everything gets done around here.
He sounds like the remake of, since he's carrying lumber around, like Walking Tall with The Rock.
Yeah,
just walking around with lumber. And
just wrote that in the chat fucking room.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. By the way, the first time I ever encountered one of his supposedly, which is absolutely a tall tale, is season 2 of The Sopranos. Was about to air, okay, and
you're gonna write all that shit about me. You're gonna see it.
No, they were doing auditions, and I guess he had some business in Nutley, and that was where I guess they were filming a scene. And it was in New Jersey. It was not uncommon to find a spot where they were shooting a scene for The Sopranos, so that's believable that he happened to be at a spot where they were shooting a scene. Well, what he had said, and what he had told his son, who told me excitedly, and if you heard this and believed it, you'd probably be excited too. He said, I go over to the spot, they're shooting The Sopranos, and I'm hanging out. And all of a sudden, they say, put him in. So they tell me to go over, they mic me up, and they say...
Is this the grandfather or the grandson?
No, this is Mr. A.
Mr. A.
Mr. A. And his son is obviously my friend. And my friend is telling me this story. He goes, so they mic me up. And they tell me to say, kill the bastard. So I give it my best. Everybody applauds. And they say, why don't you watch yourself when the first episode airs?
And, why don't you watch yourself?
And I said, wait, what do you mean? He's got a speaking, he's got a line in the season opener of The Sopranos? He goes, yeah. They're burying the mother, and he's at the funeral. And he says, kill the bastards. That's what he told me. Keep in mind, that line is never uttered in all six seasons of The Sopranos. Kill the bastards is never said in any episode. The gall and the fucking audacity to say that you were shot on film saying, kill the bastards.
Just you gotta because. Get the fucking director's cut.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta get the box set. It's only on the Blu-ray. Oh, you gotta get the laser disc. It's out of print.
You know, I don't. The words cannot describe this fucking guy.
He's the best. He's the best.
He's a gem. Like, he's the kind of guy that, like, hey, why don't they do a reality show on him and just. If he's doing all this stuff, that's what I want to watch. But the reality is, I'd rather watch him not do anything and just tell stories of shit that he did. Yeah.
That's what you do. You have him telling the story, and then you have the dramatic reenactments, and then you show him in his real life.
Yeah.
That's the show. By the way, I'll tell you this. I spent more time with him than my friend. That's how much I value this guy's stories. I love them. I think they're so absolutely awesome because I cannot picture him doing this at all.
Ken's going to be writing Tuesdays with Maury too.
Divorce parties with Mr. A. That'll be my new book. Yeah. And I think he told us that when he was a kid, he started at a new school. And to set the tone, what he did, someone was giving him shit. He took two knives and put them through somebody's hands and pinned their hands to a desk.
Oh. I slapped his face a little.
You know
bit
what?
Said, how do you like these knives?
You know he's what? Committed. Somebody would not even have the balls to write that into a fucking a Seagal movie. Someone would not have the balls to put the be like that.
Nah, hey, Michael Bay would be like,
that is way too far fetched. You know what? We can't do the double knife pinned to the desk thing. Let's just have him break everybody's neck and then set the room on fire and get shot six times and live. That's more believable.
He's committed more goddamn capital crimes than like people on death row. You know, like he's. Hey, just go around. I just walk around fucking people up, you know?
They were giving me shit, so I pinned his hands. I took two knives. First of all, he has two knives, and he's so adept that he can fucking force both of them through two hands and into a desk.
This guy's like Jason Bourne and Walter Mitty all in the same fucking... He's fantastic.
Yeah. This should be the sequel to Big Fish. All these bullshit stories actually end up being real. The guy at his funeral, the guy with two holes in his hands comes to pay his respects.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, gentlemen,
absolutely.
I will speak to you later.
Clayton, thank you very much. And for those of you listening, don't forget, tune into Bug Zapper Radio tomorrow night. Any approximate time?
About 9:30 Central Time. So
okay,
that's in the Central Time Zone.
Eastern. Yeah. 10:30.
Oh, and real quick, and before I forget, you made a mention earlier about you go. Hey, I said divorce parties are kind of a bitch thing. You know, like a 16-year-old. Hey, what 16-year-old would have a pinata? You forget where I live.
Oh, I forgot about
every
that
fucking party.
Every party.
I was like, oh fuck yes.
What is the what?
Every party has a pinata.
Is it always candy that comes out? Is there anything like I don't know. Like,
no. Further in Mexico, they might do this, but here it's just fucking candy.
Just eyeballs of their enemies.
they sell empty pinatas at Walmart.
Oh.
Maybe. Yeah, of course they do. At the local grocery store, you can buy pinatas there, yeah.
We should definitely have a Heroes Talk pinata filled with things.
Labor Day? Yeah. Labor Day in the room. Pinata party.
We should turn it into a celebration for Frank and just fill the pinata with used condoms and razor blades.
DNA samples.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Clayton. I appreciate it. Bug Zapper Radio tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central. We got to remember, we're not just an East Coast fucking operation here. Okay, we have roots firmly planted in Texas, South, goddamn, almost Mexico, Texas. Steven, I think we're nearing the end of our show. Unfortunately, I don't know. Did you have anything else you'd like to cover, perhaps?
We had a lot of stuff to cover, and we only did a third of it.
Yeah, I think so. But you know what,
Steve,
you only live once. Yeah. YOLO!
Oh, no.
Right? Is that right, Steve? Oh, how painful is that to hear?
Oh, my God. Why are you bringing it up this late? This late? You went an hour and 38 minutes and 57 seconds.
Well, I wanted to just irritate you, Steve.
Fuck YOLO.
What do you mean, YOLO? What are you talking about, first of all? Explain yourself.
No, it's the new preteen fucking acronym. You only live once. YOLO. And so scream YOLO.
So
like
they just shout it out.
Idiot.
What do they do?
Guys, I got a new car. YOLO.
Oh, okay. So he got a new car and like he probably can't pay for it, but you only live once. Is that kind of what it is?
No. I think kids have turned it into like guys jumping into a pool. YOLO.
Oh, I mean, I would think that it's something that you would declare after you've done something that you would not have otherwise done without realizing that you only live once. Like, if you could save these experiences for another life.
But now
kids have just turned it into any minor fucking thing that might upset the flow of doing nothing. Like, let's jump into a pool, YOLO. Is that really
what kids... Change lanes without a signal, YOLO.
That's what kids are doing?
Being a
really?
Douchebag. No, this is what it is. It's, I did something to be a douchebag to society. YOLO.
Ugh, I hate how you fucking say that, too. Do you know where that comes? I know where that comes from. Do you know the origin of this?
The internet? I don't know.
Oh, so you think it's an internet meme?
It is an internet meme.
Well, it has become that, but the source is from a song called "The Motto" by Drake. Have you heard this song?
Never heard the song. I know Drake's entourage beat up Chris Brown.
Good for him. Even though he looks, I'm the fucking this man. Is the song right here. Get it, do you? Type of money, everybody acting like they knew you. This is go it. Uptown, New York City, big. It's torture to listen to this. Like tell Uncle Luke, I'm out in Miami too. Clubbing hard, fucking women, ain't much to do. Wrist playing, got a kind of. I don't think there's any instruments in this song.
Is this guy from Atlanta or something?
No, he's from Canada. He was on, he was on a version of Degrassi.
Canada!
He was in Degrassi, the show Degrassi.
How does he have a southern accent?
Because he tries to rap like Lil Wayne. Jesus Christ, this shit just fucking goes on forever.
How bad? How bad is that song?
You don't like it? It's good, right? We got Santa Margarita by the leader. She know even if I'm fucking with her, I don't really need her. Yeah, so it's actually in the hook here. Here it is. Now she want a photo. You already know though. You only live once. That's the motto, nigga. YOLO. And we bout it. That's it. Every day. Every day. Every day. It's really sad that this has become something that kids have decided to latch onto. Like it's some prophetic, inspirational piece. It's really just a droning piece of shit with four notes. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. And that's it. That's all the whole fucking thing is. Yeah, how you feel, how you feel, how you feel. I like hotties and techno, Russian techno. It really sounds like Alex Webb's rapping.
He does. He's from Toronto. Dude, what?
This is the anthem of the current generation. And it's also why the current generation needs to be stopped.
What the fuck? No, this guy is not... He's from Canada?
Yeah, Aubrey. His real name is Aubrey.
Aubrey Drake Graham.
Yeah. Oh, what a fucking loser. Yeah.
Born in 1986. Oh, good.
So why? I mean, I know why it's enraging. It's because it's a thing that young kids say that I don't really want to say. So it's enraging. Whenever young people say something, I wish they wouldn't say. It irritates me because they'll always say it forever.
No, you know what irritates me? The fact that it's true. Like, I feel it's true. As an atheist, right? You only live once. So you make the most of your life. You do everything in your power to do everything right in your life. No, he's saying YOLO like, oh, I'm jumping out of plane, YOLO.
Well, I think the idea of the song is...
I'm going to go swimming in water and on black YOLO.
No, the idea of the song is that the guy has so much money, just fucking spend it on everything, right? And okay, I get it. That's the typical rap standpoint, point of view, whatever.
Okay.
I've got millions of dollars, I'm just going to blow it. I'm going to take a stack of money and let it fly like fucking Pac-Man Jones and just go. Just fucking go wild. Why? Because I only live once. I'm going to die before I spend this shit, all that. But when kids latch on to this fucking shit, it's absolutely fucking pathetic. Because they're basically saying, well, you know, you only live once, so I better eat this popsicle. This is as good as it's ever going to get. I better not save this experience for later. I better just do it now, because I might die before I get to eat this fucking artificially flavored cherry popsicle. Oh, wait, I'm at the parking lot of a Wawa. I better just get in this shopping cart and ride it down the hill a little bit. YOLO.
Nigga, got... super value meal, but I'm adding bacon YOLO.
Anytime I see somebody using that, like just using it or writing it or calling their album or mixtape that or anything, just using the phrase YOLO, I fucking my fucking guts just knot themselves. It seems so fucking stupid. You only live one. Wow, thanks for the sage advice, you fucking seer of seers. It's a fucking stupid thing. The current generation is just,
you know what,
ill informed. They don't have anything that anything they like is bad. They don't have the desire to follow somebody who can provide them good insight, can maybe actually make them enjoy or make the most of the one life that they've just become aware of all of a sudden. Like we've never realized that you only live once. Is that what it is? I mean, there are certain things. You know what? Go ahead and say YOLO if you decide to get a fucking tattoo on your face of the word YOLO. If you get the word YOLO
right in the middle of your forehead,
across your fucking forehead, please feel free to say the word YOLO. Don't say it.
Like, I won't hate on that at all.
You won't hate on it, Steve?
Not at all.
Good. What are some other examples? Like, if somebody did something and declared YOLO, would you ever let it pass? What are some examples?
Yeah. No. I think there's a time and place. Like, if you go bungee jumping, or if you go, like, hang gliding.
I mean, you do have a harness. You do have a harness. You could live to bungee jump again.
Well, yeah.
You probably aren't going to get another YOLO tattoo on your face. Granted, maybe someone will, but it's very unlikely that you will. I think maybe if you decide to mutilate your body irreparably, maybe, I don't know, have like a fucking silicone dorsal fin put under your back skin. YOLO!
Dude, all right, yeah, that's absolutely...
Has anybody done that? Because the lizard guy has put bumps under his face. Has anybody ever tried to put a fucking dorsal fin on their back?
Yo. Hold on. Let's keep that low, because I think we can make money off of this.
Dorsal fin implant.
No, body mod. Put in dorsal fin body mod.
Body mod. Body mod. Shakti day. Let's see.
I'm sure someone has.
I don't think so. I think this is new ground.
Yeah, that would be rough, because I think we could do it.
I think we've actually come across something that...
Patent. You
know, we need to patent. We need to patent the
dorsal fin body mod.
Implant the dorsal fin body mod. I would love to see somebody with a dorsal fin. You know, they wear a nice little shirt with the fucking a hole cut out of the back.
Little hole cut up, blowhole near the tag on their t-shirt.
Yeah. Maybe get some gills tattooed on the ribs, something like that. Maybe become Fishman. Why does it stop at lizard and cat people? Why can't we start looking like fish if we want to? YOLO. Get a goddamn fucking dorsal fin and truly celebrate the fact that you only live once. Don't fucking buy a Slim Jim and eat the plastic and say YOLO. It's absolute bullshit. I'm with you on that, Steve.
I'm tempted to get a dorsal fin now.
You won't do it, Steve.
No, I won't.
I know you won't. Even if it was your most fervent desire, the number one driving force in your life, you still wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't, Steve. You told me something that kind of gave me pause a little bit. You told me that you've mastered the skill of lucid dreaming.
A little bit.
What do you mean?
For times, like, it's not like the entire dream, but I have figured out, I think, how to say in a dream that I'm dreaming.
So you can now, you can lucid dream, is what you're telling me.
Well, that's what lucid dreaming is. It's realizing you're in a dream, and you take power in that dream to do whatever you want.
How often does this happen to you?
More recently. Like, when I was younger, I couldn't do anything. It was always like I was getting chased. My teeth were falling out. That was always the dream I had when I was little.
Yeah.
But I'd say in the last year, maybe, I've had dreams where I'm like, all right, some fact is coming through that I know is not true, and I'm like, this is a dream. And I'm still in the dream, and I'm like, wow, this is really realistic, but I know this is a dream. So I'll be like, oh, okay.
What causes you to realize that it's a real... Are you just comparing the dream, your situation in the dream, to your real life?
Yes.
So, like, what? Give me an example of one of the dreams.
I'll see someone that I know is dead in real life.
Okay.
And then I'll be like, wait, this person is dead.
Is it ever triggered by your surroundings? Like, are you, for example, in your dream, are you ever not in a basement and you say, hey, I can't possibly... This can't possibly be reality. I'm not in a basement. No. I must be dreaming.
I don't think I've ever had a basement dream.
I would hope not.
I'm always out and about.
Interesting. I've had one dream where I realized that I was in a dream.
And that
I could take action. Or at least it seemed like I could. And I was in I was on my parents' street, knocking at the or walking down the street, and I decided to jump. And while I was in the air, I jumped again, and for some reason that triggered
double
it.
Jump.
Yeah, I did a double jump, and I realized that I'm dreaming.
Wait,
because this is impossible. Yeah, this is impossible. I can't do that. So I decided to jump from where I was to the roof of the neighbor's house, and then jump from that house to the next house. And then I realized, okay,
sounds like
I can jump awesome. like as far as I need to jump. Let me see what it's like to commit crimes. So I broke it. I tried to break into the house that I was on the roof of. I jumped down, and I went to the front door, bashed it in, and looked in, but there was nothing. It was just black. Like when you activate the no clipping code in Doom 2. Where you kind of go to a wall where there's no more hidden rooms behind it. It's just, like, black. That's what it was. It was pretty fucking goddamn bizarre. And then I woke up. Yeah, it was ID no clip. And I didn't have IDDQD mode on. So I had regular strength and armor. Strength.
you gotta start busting IDDQD. Yeah.
Steve, I think that the problem with my dreams are that I'll realize that I have control, and maybe this has happened before, or maybe I'm in an amazing fucking dream, like a dream where it's like everything that I'd ever want out of life is happening, or is about to just happen, and then I wake up because of the feeling inside of me that I'm going to be late for work. I'll just wake up and look at the clock and, oh shit, it's 9:30. I gotta get dressed. I gotta go. I gotta get in the car. Oh my God, fuck.
Welcome to Saturday.
That's every fucking day for me. Like, I'm immune to alarm clocks. I've conditioned from staying up so late to try and make more time for myself.
That's bad.
I've made myself immune to alarm clocks. Oh, I am at bad. The point where I hit the snooze button while I'm sleeping. I don't even know that I'm doing it. I'll either get nudged by Amanda, or I'll do the two alarm method, where I'll take another alarm clock and put it across the room, and do that. And that doesn't work for very long, because as I found, I will either have them in sync or maybe with a little bit of a gap in between, and I'll instantly snooze the one next to my bed. And I'll get to the point, I'll actually level up to the sleepwalking point where I will walk out of my bed, hit the fucking snooze on the one across the room, get back in bed and sleep.
Wow.
It's bad. It's really bad.
That's you're fucking yourself up for
but
life.
I wake up, though. I have to, see, the thing is, if I condition myself enough, if I set that at like 2 hours before I need to wake up, then I will have snoozed through 2 hours of the sleep, and at that point I'll be perfect. It'll be enough of a gradual wake up where I've had 2 hours of snooze time, and okay, let's go. I don't feel tired. I feel pretty good.
You need 2 hours.
If I don't do that, if I just set the alarm in like the living room or some like really far distance away, like at a fire alarm level of volume. For the time I need to wake up.
A fire alarm level volume.
Yes. If I do that for the time I need to wake up, I will wake up in a fucking panic. I will feel extremely exhausted. It'll just be a nightmare, and I'll be tired the entire fucking day. I'll be ruined.
So you need a 2 hour, like.
I need a 2 hour ease in.
Wow.
Gradient from fucking sleep to awake. I need that transition.
All right. What if I told you working on the time you have to wake up and reducing the stress of that would help you overall in life? Would you take that option?
Are you trying to sell me a timeshare?
No.
Okay, then yeah.
What if I was to tell
you that mastering sleep could greatly improve your life? Would you be interested in this? Of course. What if I told you that you were going to die because
you're training yourself. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so what can I do?
Train yourself negatively.
What can I do, Steve? Tell me. Please, level with me. What should I be doing?
Never wake up stressed.
How do you do that?
All right, what stresses you immediately when you wake up?
When I wake up, oh shit, I have to go to work. Fuck, I don't want to go to work. Oh my God, I have to get ready for work, and then I got to get in the car. Oh fuck, right, I forgot to get the dog.
Stop.
I got to get the dog. Take the dog out. Shit. Fuck. Okay, I'll stop.
Who leaves first, you or Amanda?
Depending on when I wake up, usually Amanda. Sometimes I leave before her, but mostly Amanda.
All right, so we're going to add another 15 minutes to walk the dog, because it should never take more than 15 minutes to walk the dog.
Well, you got to get his leash. You got to get some kind of clothes on, because let's face it, I'm not sleeping in cargo shorts. All right, Steve? I got to get some kind of clothes. I got to get his leash, get him together, get a bag to pick up his shit. It's about, let's say, you know, from being
That's
inside
2 minutes.
From being inside to being back inside, it's about a half hour round trip.
No, what?
About a half hour round trip.
I went from 2 minutes and you went straight to a half hour.
The whole thing.
Don't you have a yard? Do you have a yard?
No fence. So I can't let him out. I have to go walk him. See?
No. I'm saying, do you have a yard?
I do have a yard, yes.
Does Teddy piss and shit in your yard?
He will, but he's been conditioned now to only shit during walks for some reason.
Oh, well, all right. That's maybe 5 more minutes.
Yeah, see?
That's your own fault.
Okay, so we've mastered the dog walk thing. What else? What else should I do? I have to wake up a little earlier so I can do
I'll double it and give you 4 minutes on that.
Okay. So you gave me 20 minutes.
What else makes you nervous when you awake?
I got to get ready. I gotta get ready. I gotta make my lunch. I gotta get dressed. I gotta get showered.
Make your lunch the night before.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. Why not? That's my time. The night before is my time. That's when I get my shit done. That's when I pursue my dreams.
And you're killing yourself the next day by being selfish the night before.
Yeah, I could easily make my lunch the night before. Well, okay, like, so like, what else? What else?
All right, well, you tell me. What else makes you nervous? All right, making your lunch covered.
You know what it is?
You have four minutes okay, in the night before.
Sure, we can take care of ironing clothes and lunch.
Wait, you have to iron clothes before you go to work. That's a required thing.
Most days.
Wait, ironing clothes. You have to do that in the morning before you go to work.
Well, at some point before I wear the clothes, yeah.
So that could be done the night before also.
See, yeah, I could do... Okay, here's the thing. No, here's the thing. All the things that I can put off or wake up earlier for, great. That's doable. But the one thing you're never going to erase is the... feeling. That's what you're not going to erase. I get to be back in this bed in...
How fast can you take a shower?
20 hours, I guess.
20 hours?
Yeah, no, it's I get to do this in 24 hours again, don't I? Get to do it all over again. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Wait, you take a shower as a normal human being almost every 24 hours, no?
No. No, you're not getting what I'm saying. The main issue with waking up and not and having dread is, gotta go to work, gotta stay at work. Who knows when I'm coming home? That's kind of the issue, because I don't.
But you have food that you made the night before, right?
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Like, that's not even the biggest thing. It's just something.
I don't know what you're like.
It's a dread. Scared. It's a dread for having to go to work. Here's the thing. You have to go to work because you need to earn money. But for some reason, I can't get past the concept that we're selling the only thing that we were truly given, which is time. To be able to live in a house that I could probably live in a smaller house. We're fucking selling our lives away. That's what it is. And in a lot of cases,
well, I don't have that dread.
But you will, Steve, because the mother tit of New Jersey is dried up.
No, I don't have to worry about a house. Yeah, I have a house.
The thing is, even if you do what you love, eventually it'll be something that you don't want to do or that you don't look forward to doing. You'll do it.
That's why you always need to be ready for like every situation. You need to be well read. You need to be. I'd say a jack of all trades is better than a master of none right now.
Oh, but you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can explain this to you, Steve. I don't know what it is. I mean, I like my job. I'm happy at my job.
It's good.
I'm just unhappy at the having to
environment.
To give up so much of my day. To live, it just seems like I don't know.
I think you're being greedy because you don't even have kids, man.
Exactly.
What if you had a kid? Like, how much of that dread would change if you woke up tomorrow and you had a young son that was
old? And it would be even more dreadful because you'd be away from your kid, right? I guess. I don't know. I don't know how that feels. This is a very very selfish discussion.
It is.
I freely admit it, but I get caught in this thing of like, okay, well, I'm getting out of the car, I'm gonna walk to my desk, I'll be there for a number of hours, and then I'll go home and it'll be dark and I'll eat dinner at fucking 10 p.m and then I'll go to bed. So it's like, okay, when do you live? Oh, you live on the weekends, right?
Yeah,
that's when you live. And when do you do all the shit that you're supposed to do other than work? On the weekends.
So, mow the grass, go out, have a good time, get drunk.
It's an issue of time management. There's no question of it. And certainly finding better times to do things like the dog walk, the ironing of the clothes, the preparation of lunch. Those are all good things. But I don't think you're ever going to erase the feeling of, why the fuck am I just... Is there anything I could be doing other than selling my life? Is there anything I could be doing? Selling my life for the greater good of another company. And you know what? I don't know. I don't know. That is a feeling I have. It's not that I don't like my job or the people I work with. I think they're great. I think the company's great. I think the job is good. It's just the notion of selling the one thing that you have.
Time.
Which is a little piece of a fucking timeline that you're a part of.
You're a time addict.
You think I'm a time addict?
I think you're addicted to good use of time.
Maybe addicted to personal time, maybe. Because I guess I am sacrificing sleep.
Wait, do you ever have on-call? Do you ever do on-call stuff?
Like, occasionally, but not. I haven't done a whole lot of it yet. I'm assuming that'll ramp up
a little bit. But, I feel sorry for you, bro.
I mean, I don't mind that. I mean,
really?
No.
Have you done it?
Yeah, once I was on call. It is a little bit nerve-wracking, but as long as it's not a part of my everyday thing, you know, if it's a once a month or whatever, who cares? You know, I don't know, Steve. I mean, you say I'm a time addict. What is that? You think I'm addicted to time, or I mean, I'm definitely addicted to making free time for myself by sacrificing fucking necessary biological functions.
Well, that's bad. That's just unhealthy. But no, I think you feel bad if you misuse your time.
Well, I'm misusing my time by anybody else.
Do you second guess like the events in your life? Like, do you second guess if you've done this right or if you did this, you would have had more time to do this?
No, I don't do that. I just want time to bullshit. I want time to put towards the show, towards programming projects that I do for myself.
Towards learning new things
to keep myself relevant, it's a stretch. You know, I try and make time for all the things that I'm interested in, and I think that's the struggle that I'm having. Is there's a lot of shit that I want to do. What fucking falls out?
What dies so
that I can do some of this stuff? And I know I won't be able to do it all. So which of the things that I want to do is getting cut as well? Like, I mean, am I gonna watch TV ever? Occasionally, but I don't do much of it anymore.
True Blood?
I will not miss an episode of True Blood.
I will not miss an episode of Jeopardy.
That's weird. You know, we were on the fucking phone, and I didn't even think anything of it, but you're like, I was getting ready to call you. I'm like, hey, okay, we're gonna talk about some stuff for the show. You're like, yeah, but fucking Jeopardy's on, so I'll call you later. And I thought you were fucking with me.
When was that? That was like fucking like 10 months ago.
But it's stuck with me because nobody has ever treated Jeopardy as like a fucking cliffhanger show. And you did. You're like, oh, dude,
it not, is.
You basically...
There's always the champion going into the next show. It's always a cliffhanger.
Yeah, but you. Here's the thing. Nobody has ever said, dude, you're going to have to call me back. Jeopardy's on. Nobody's ever fucking said that.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
I'm that guy.
Well, in any event, I want to say thank you very, very much to everybody supporting the show. I want to say thanks to Clayton from Texas who called in. Check out Bug Zapper Radio. It's a great show. It's on tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 Central on heroestalk.com. Check out Geeks of Rage. It's Geeks of Rage Show. And also, I'm sorry, geeksofrageshow.com. And check out Best in Show Radio. It's bestinshowradio.com. All of the shows on Heroes Talk are very, very, very thankful for your support. And once again, heroestalk.com/Amazon. Buy something nice for yourself. You're so good at supporting us, you deserve to have a gift. Save your money. We don't want donations. Buy yourself a gift and think of us. heroestalk.com/Amazon. Steve, is there anything you'd like to say?
Boop.
Did you say poop?
No, boop.
Oh. Well, I'm going to say poop. Thank you very much. Have a good week. And take care of yourself. And if you hear from Germ Freak, let us know.
It's a fucking snooze!
It's a fucking snooze! Thank you.
right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hot shot! Hot shot! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!